Acts chapter 11 and verse number 19. Acts chapter 11 is very pivotal in the book of Acts. Antioch becomes the home church and headquarters of Paul, the apostle. The focus here begins to shift from Jerusalem to Antioch. In Acts 13, two chapters later, the first missionaries are sent out from Antioch. In Acts verse chapter 11, look at verse number 26, and look at the end of it, and it says, the end of verse 26 there, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That word's used three times in your Bible, and every time it's used, Christian, it's always in reference to people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who are suffering. All right. Here, this persecution is spread abroad, verse 19, and then they're scattered up to, and Antioch is north of Jerusalem, and the persecution scatters them in Jerusalem so that they spread and start spreading the gospel. My text verse is verse number 23, and it says, "Who when he, Barnabas, had came he and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with," and then this little phrase right here, "purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord." And I started thinking, and this morning, the name of the sermon is called New Year's Resolutions. And so if you're going to make a New Year's resolution, I wanted to encourage you this morning. The word resolution means a re-solution. Something that you know will fix the problem and you make a commitment to it again. It's a resolution or a re-solution to a problem. It means a decisive and determination as to future action. It means to, here's another word. It means, the word resolution means to resolve or re-solve a problem. I'm going to take a problem I have, take a solution or solve it, and I'm going to apply it to that. And so it means firmness or steadfastness of purpose. And that's what a resolution is. This is the time of year when people enjoy, praise God, the fresh start of the new year and purposes, and they purpose in their heart, or they make resolutions on how this year can be different and better than last year. I think it's good to tell one or two people about your resolutions because of accountability, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Put it on social media so everybody knows where you blew it, I think's goofy. You understand? I put it on Facebook and Twitter. Why? Why would you do that? But anyways, that's a day and age we live in. Top 10 resolutions. The top 10 resolutions made, out of them, the first one was to lose weight. Okay? Glory to God. That's mine. We'll get into that here in just a minute, and we'll talk about my weight. All right? Here we go. you say, why? Because it's the only person's weight I can talk about in here where people won't get mad. number two resolution was to get organized. So number one was to lose weight. Number two, get organized. Okay, some have tried it so much and failed that they have the resolution that they are never going to get organized. That was funny. I wish you'd have heard that. All right. Number three, resolution is to spend less and save more. Okay. Number four, the top fourth resolution was to enjoy life to the fullest. That is so goofy. Okay. If ignoring God is great and doing whatever you want to do is so wonderful, and if Christianity is so horrible, then why do you have to make a New Year's resolution to enjoy your life? Isn't that goofy? Isn't that goofy? I'm going to enjoy life more. Jesus said he came in John 10:10, he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. 1 John 1:4 says, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." The happiest way to the best way to a happy life is through the Word of God and doing what God wants you to do, and then you have no regrets. Number five, what's the fifth resolution? Stay fit and healthy. Stay fit and healthy. Number six, learn something new and exciting. Number seven, quit smoking. That was the seventh one, okay? Does not apply to me, but there was a time when I did have a nicotine problem, all right? Long time ago. Then, number eight resolution is help others. I'm going to help others. Number nine is fall in love. I think that's, why would you make a resolution to do that? I'm going to hit on that here in a little bit, but number 10, spend more time with family. All these, I think, are good things. You say, preacher, I'm making resolutions that I can keep. I'm going to watch more TV, eat more, exercise less, and gain weight. That way I don't have to deal with a failure. I don't think any of those resolutions are bad. I think it's good. I think it's healthy. I think it's natural to stop and look at where you're at in your life and compare it to where you would like to be and figure out what you're going to do to close the gap of where you are and where you want to be and close the gap. I think that is healthy. When I read, just listen, we'll look here at the scripture in just a second. Psalm 119 verse 59 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. When I stopped and thought about my life, and I know many people that they may have, maybe it was after a binge or after a time with the wrong crowd, they started thinking, is this really where I want my life to go? It's healthy. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I think it's good to have a time of evaluation where you evaluate yourself. I don't think you should do that every day. People that do that every day are insecure. I think it's dangerous to do it every day. But I think if one time a year you evaluated yourself and you said, what have I accomplished? Where are my shortcomings? Where have I failed? Where can I do better? I think that's healthy as long as you don't do it every day. When you understand, the first thing I want you to understand this morning is when I think about resolutions, when you understand the resolutions that are not kept, that are made and not kept, only 47% of Americans make resolutions, and only out of the resolutions that are kept, only 8% keep them. When you think of how many are kept, you first thank the Lord that we serve a God that is nothing like us. You say, what are you talking about? Listen to this. Isaiah 46:11 says, God says, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Many people get no further than making their resolution. God always does what He says and accomplishes what He purposes. Praise God. God is nothing like us. God always follows through with His purposes and what He determines. Jeremiah 4:28 says, for this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. If God resolves to do something, it's as good as done. Aren't you glad? And that's the first thing I start thinking about is when I start thinking about resolutions, my God is nothing like me. It's amazing. The number one resolution is to lose weight. If the number one resolution is to lose weight, why is America so obese? You say, oh, you're calling me fat. Okay, stop. Do you realize when you go to the doctor's office, if you are 40 pounds overweight, you are obese? I'll never forget when I found that out. What? I'm obese? I walked in normal, and then I walked out. Man, I felt big. I was like, mercy, what in the... I was jiggling all over. So I found out that the person you're looking at, is obese. Obese, not fat. Obese, what in the world? Okay, at any rate, okay, I'm over it though. Think of this just for a second. If number three resolution in America is to spend less and save more, why are so many in debt? The average household debt is $12,000. Credit card. Honestly, it's because we're very unlike the Lord. God is 100% in accomplishing His resolutions. If we make resolutions and keep them, it's because of discipline and purpose of heart. I don't think there's anything missing from the list that we made, okay? As far as something that's good and wholesome, I think all of them are good except for the one about falling in love. I think that's sad. You say, are you sure? Love is a decision, it's not a feeling. If you can fall out, if you believe that, then you can fall. If you believe you can fall in love, then you believe you can fall out also. And America has no understanding of what true love is. Love is determined on the giver, never the receiver. And a media, television-programmed, politically correct America has no idea what real love is. They really think love is a feeling. If I examine the list this morning that I gave you, is there anything on the list that's, if you ask yourself this question, is there anything on that list that's going to matter for eternity? Once this life is over, what are you committed to that is going to last forever? You see, there's some purposes or resolutions of heart that are not spiritual. That's fine, but I have to be careful. 2 Corinthians 1:17 says, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I purpose?" Just listen to this. "Do I purpose according to the flesh?" In other words, it's not a spiritual purpose or resolution in my heart. You see, we have to be careful not to determine things that are fleshly and not spiritual. 40% of the goals are self-improvement or educational goals. 38% of the goals are weight and health-oriented goals. No problem. The rest of the goals in importance were money and money-related goals, and then relationship-related goals. Once again, none of these are evil or sinful. They're not bad. But how many goals and resolutions are spiritual and deal with your walk with God that will help you? You see, our text this morning says Barnabas went. He went as far as Antioch, and in verse 23, he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He was a good man, verse 24, and full of the Holy Ghost. Barnabas was a good man and exhorted or urged and encouraged them to cleave to your diet. Come on, you can... He didn't do that. I'm telling you, this is something I'm going the opposite direction, okay? It doesn't say that. I know it doesn't say that. Stick with me. Ready? Barnabas encouraged them to cleave to their study schedule. Barnabas encouraged them to cleave to their budgets or exercise routines. No, he didn't. He encouraged them to cleave unto the Lord. You know what the word cleave means? It's about, you know, when a husband and wife take vows that they should cleave to each other. You know what the word cleave means? The word cleave means that if separation happens, damage happens to both. It's like when you glue a 2x4 together, two 2x4s, liquid nails, and then you go to pry it apart and a piece of this wood is stuck over here and a piece of this wood is stuck over here. Damage happens to both. God says our commitments, we should be encouraged. I wanted to encourage everybody this morning. I hope you do have some New Year's resolutions. I think it's sad when people say, "Oh, I'm not going to keep them, so I'm not going to do them anyways." I wish you'd have a different outlook on life than that. But I'd like to encourage you this morning to cleave to the Lord. You see, evolution is not true. It is a lie. Nothing improves by chance. There's nothing in your Bible that gets better with time, except the Lord. Everything else goes downhill. Everything. Evolution is not true. Nothing gets better by accident. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grow in grace. Grow spiritually. Nobody grows in the Lord without purpose and determination. No one's a good Christian without first wanting to be. Who is going to hear? I'll just ask you a question this morning. First day of 2017, praise God. Who is going to hear the gospel this year because of you? Who's going to hear the gospel? Who's going to be a better Christian this year because you took time to help them and prayed for them this year? Who? Somebody needs to be. And there's plenty of people to help. There's plenty of people to encourage. But who this year is going to be better because of you? Who's going to be added to the Lord this year because of you? You see, take your Bible and go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. While you're going there, Daniel's taken into captivity. He's a teenager. It doesn't say how old he is. Most think 13. Some think 14, 15. But either way, he's taken as a young boy. He's made a eunuch. He's traumatized. He's probably watched his parents killed. And he's taken to a land where he'll never go home again. And then it says, it records of Daniel, he's a wonderful hero, I think, to every teenager. But watch this, I think, to all of us. Watch this, Daniel chapter 1, and look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor of the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. When he got there, and they're teaching him the Babylonian ways, and they don't allow him to speak in Hebrew, you have to speak in Babylonian as he learns the language. To sit down at the king's table meant if you take food, you first made a plate for Baal. That was the god of the Babylonians. And before you could eat, sitting at the king's table, you had to make a plate for a false god. And you had to take this, and you made a plate, and then you offered it to the false god. And Daniel said, I'm not going to eat the king's meat because I will not defile myself. He wasn't concerned about eating it. It was as much as if I sit down at the king's table, I have to make a plate to offer to the false god, and I will not do that. I start learning as I read the Bible. I want to encourage you this morning. There are some things that happened last year that should not happen this year. Maybe you could say this morning, there's places I went last year that I'm not going to this year. I'm going to draw the line. I'm going to purpose in my heart. I'm not going to defile myself. There are people that I hung around last year that I'm not going to spend time with this year. There are things I said last year that I'm not going to say this year. The devil and my flesh have lied to me enough. I woke up one morning, maybe you woke up one morning, and you said, and your heart was broken. Because the devil did lie to you. If you'll do this, you'll be happy. If you drink this, you'll be happy. If you go here, you'll be happy. And you found the devil to be a liar. And you felt robbed. And he's broken your heart. You see, maybe you could say this morning, I've disappointed myself and broken my heart with the things I have allowed to happen enough. I'm going to live a separated Christian life. I am not going to do drugs. It's wrong. I'm not going to drink alcohol. It's a sin. I'm not going to listen to the wrong music. It defiles my mind. I am not going to have sex outside of marriage. It's wicked. We live in a society today where we're surrounded by opportunities to sin against God. Living in America is becoming more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah. Pornography is a click away. I don't care if it's strip clubs, alcohol, all of it. It's all accessible. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, turning the cities in Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, that saved Christian, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. You say, well, if you're saved, you don't do those things. No, 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 no. If you're saved and you don't make a determination to live right, you will poison or vex your soul. And you won't have victory in the Christian life. That's because you made no determination of places I will not go, things I will not do. I'm not going to talk that way. I'm not going to live. I will not stand for that. And just like Daniel, think about that. In a foreign land where he had seen his parents killed before he was taken, a young boy, and said, you know what? I mean, couldn't he have said this? Fine, if God's going to let my parents die, let me go, let me never see my homeland again. If God's going to treat me that way, then I'm going to do whatever I want. He could have gotten bitter, couldn't he? But he doesn't. He determines in his heart. He purposes. There are things I will not do. There are lines I will draw. And every Christian has to purpose in their heart. Your separation is between you and God. In other words, there you say, preacher, what is it, the things that you do and places you don't go? I'll tell you, and I'll gladly tell you, but it doesn't matter. My separation doesn't affect you. my separation affects me. You see, God tells us in 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, keep thyself pure. Daniel set boundaries in his life, and he disciplined himself on purpose, and he purposed in his heart. Let me give you a few good New Year's resolutions. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Here's just a few, and no, I'm not going to go through a list like I gave you. I only have about four here. But number one, a good New Year's resolution would be Psalm 17, and then we're going to go to Psalm 141. So go right in the middle of your Bible. Go to Psalm 17. We'll look real quickly there, and then we'll go to Psalm 141. Psalm 17. No, you're not going to find the word resolution in your Bible. You will find the word purpose. Purpose of heart. You will find that, but you're not going to find the word resolution in your Bible. Psalm 17, and then we'll go to Psalm 141. All right, look at Psalm 17 and verse 3. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. And then I love verse number 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Who's the destroyer? Satan. What keeps your life from being destroyed? The words of God. By the words of thy mouth I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. What a verse. What a wonderful verse. And in verse ahead it says, I have purposed with my heart. He said, I purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Here's a good New Year's resolution. Why don't you decide you're going to control your tongue and what you talk about? I've purposed in my heart. There are things I don't talk about. I don't give sexual innuendos when I talk. I'm not going to live that way. I am not going to. Have you ever thought about it? There are so many sins that we do with our mouth. Take your Bible, your Psalm 17, go to Psalm 141. Look at verse number 3 of Psalm 141. Look at this prayer that he prays. Psalm 141. God says here, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. What a verse. This is a prayer. This is where he's saying, dear God, my mouth gets me in so much trouble. Lord, set a door before it. You ever think about it? God gave you two sets of teeth and two lips and one tongue. That's two doors. Amen? God must want me to be what? Quick to hear and slow to speak. Because my mouth gets me in a lot of problems, gets me people shooting off their mouth. You see, God teaches us, if a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Your religion only has, watch this, your Christianity only has as much substance as you control your mouth. And your mouth can discredit you as a Christian that fast. You say, well, they shouldn't do that. God says that. In God's eyes, our Christianity amounts to nothing when we don't control our mouth. Let me read you one more verse. Proverbs 18:21, powerful verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You can kill with your tongue, and you can give life. You can discourage, and you can encourage. And a Christian has to understand that. They're saying, I'm not going to walk into a room and automatically start saying what I don't like. Oh, this carpet's stupid. Oh, there's a stain. Oh, man, who sat there? Stinks in here. Oh, a light bulb's out. Wow, the ceiling's dirty. Wow, look at the fly on the thing there. What in the world? What a dirty place. Have you ever heard the thing, if you see a problem, does God want you to fix it? Maybe if I see a problem, God is letting me see something, but I don't want to shoot my mouth off. You understand? I don't want to just automatically. And I've watched some people, they'll walk right into a room, and the first thing they say is what they don't like. Stinks in here. It's too hot, too cold. Man, I can't. Oh, stuffy. Oh, can you open a window? No windows in here. What kind of an auditorium has no windows? Come on. I mean, and it just goes on and on and on. And there's nothing you can do about what they're saying. But they never think how what's coming out of their mouth is affecting everybody else. They never think death and life are in the power of the tongue. Are in the power of the tongue. Be careful, Christian. A good New Year's resolution would be, I'm going to control my tongue and what I talk about. This is a whole Bible study on itself, and we're going to move on here in just a second. But have you ever thought about how many sins come out of our mouth? Lying, gossip, flattery, guile, slander, debate, corruption, bitterness, accusations, negative, and the list goes on. It's huge. The list of sins that our mouth, our tongue can commit is huge. There are sins of silence also. You know, when I could have spoken a word for the Lord and I didn't, when I could have witnessed and I didn't, when I failed to pray and didn't. Those are sins of silence. Once again, with my tongue. My tongue being the source. You see, God tells me what I'm supposed to talk about. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." Luke 4:22 it says, "And Jesus all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth." What caught their attention was how Jesus talked. Wow, no man spake like this man. Let me give you another resolution that you could make this year. What's one? One is, I'm going to control my tongue. I'm going to start controlling what my mouth talks about. Number two, can you take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. All I'm trying to do is, I know people are interested in losing weight, and I'm all for the list. I don't think anything's bad on it. I've already voiced my opinion about the falling in love thing. But on your resolution list for 2017, your outlook for the year, what are you purposing in your heart to do to cleave to the Lord? To be joined to the Lord so closely that if separation happens, damage happens to both. We know the Lord can't be damaged, but you understand what I'm saying. Where does, in 2017, this year, what are you resolving to do? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." I've already said it. You could just know you cannot give God. Look at verse 7. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." Could you make a resolution about your giving this year? I know one thing. It's none of my business what you give, although as the pastor, I do look at the tithing records. I can do that, and I don't tell anybody, but I do know who tithes and who doesn't. And I'm waiting for those who don't to grow spiritually enough to where they can trust the Lord so they can. Amen? I don't beat anybody over the head with it. I don't visit. You know, I don't do that. I will say this. You're supposed to purpose in your heart to give as the Lord has prospered you. And since I've been saved, every church I've been in, my pastor has taught me, you give your tithe, then you give to the building fund, something. Well, I don't have anything. Everybody can give a penny. See what I mean? Everybody can give something. And what you give is between you and God. And then we're going to have missions in a couple of weeks. In 3 weeks, we're doing missions. What are you going to give this year to missions? And I've always been taught this. Don't ever go backwards in your giving. Go forward at least a little bit. Go forward. You say, you're trying to get money out of us. No, I'm not. I just know you cannot love your God without giving. Your giving is important to you. Amen? Every man, let him purpose in his heart, so let him give. All financial counselors, every secular one will tell you to pay yourself first or save before you spend. I have no problem with that, but God says to give to Him first because He gave you what you have. So my financial counsel would be, they're saying interest rates are going to go up. They're saying the economy is doing well. I think if Hillary would have gotten in, I think it was going to tank. And it still may tank. Either way, all I know is whether the economy is doing well or poorly, I need God's help. No, my family needs God's help. So I'm going to do what God said with the money, since He's the one that gives it. Let's move on, all right? Number three, go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I just absolutely love verse number 20. I'd like you to go back and read this later. But another resolution that you could make this year, and purposing in your heart to cleave to the Lord, to get close to God, to let this be more of a spiritual year this year than it was last year, to close the gap. Maybe you could make a resolution that just you're simply going to love God more this year. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. I just love verse 20 is what I want you to see, but look at verse number 19. Deuteronomy 30 and then verse number 19. Watch this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed, that your children may live, that thou mayest, I love this, may love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest, watch this, cleave unto Him, and then these words, for He is thy life. What a verse. Why don't you purpose to love God this year? Because He is your life. He's given you everything you have, your breath, your clothing, your job, your family. He's given it all to you. So why not just make a resolution? You know what? This year, I'm going to love God more. I'm going to love God more. If I could just encourage you this morning, maybe you could spend time praying every day. You say, I've never done that before. Okay, start out 5 minutes. Maybe start out 10 minutes. If you see me and privately, I'll help you. I'll give you a way of organizing your prayer life. You'll get frustrated with 10 minutes. You'll start to pray and it'll be like, man, 10 minutes went by. I'll help you if you'll come and see me. Maybe you should start reading your Bible through. I know for some it's a starting point. There's some they've already done that. And there's some people, you need to up your Bible reading this year. You did 4 chapters a day last year. You need to do 5 chapters. There's some of you, you need to, instead of going to chapters, you need to go to pages. Quit reading chapters a day and start going, you know what, this year I'm going to read 4 pages a day. 4 pages in my Bible. Doesn't matter how many chapters it is. There's some of you, you could serve the Lord this year. Coming to church and feeding on the Word of God. Did you know that this is not serving this morning? Unless you taught a Sunday school class or helped provide for the service, did you know you're not serving God now? Everybody needs to understand that. I'm glad you're here, but don't call coming to church. I serve God. I go to church. Well, what would you think if we were playing a football game and had a team out there and you were sitting on the sideline and you were on the team and all you did is eat potato chips and ice cream? Well, so-and-so is here at practice, but all he does is sit there and eat. Then when the trophies are given out, you want a trophy, but all you did was eat. Everybody on the team would go, he doesn't do nothing. All he does is eat. He needs to make a New Year's resolution to lose some weight. All I'm telling you is, I'm glad you're in church, but don't ever call coming to church, I serve God, I go to church. This isn't serving God. Let me tell you what is. When you give of yourself for the service, for instance, those that cleaned the church, they gave of their time yesterday, that was serving. Those that organized the track rack, those that cleaned, those that helped with the nursery, we got people that washed the toys, we got people, that's serving. But you sitting here, you're taking in right now, right? Taking into the Word of God. Don't ever call coming to church serving. And I'm amazed at how many Christians do that. But I am glad you're here. But maybe this year you could say, you know what? I'm going to find what God wants me to do, and I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him. I want to, Lord, use me some way, my energy, Lord, my time. Lord, you know what I have, you know what I can do, you know what my schedule allows, but Lord, let me use some of my time to serve You. What a New Year's resolution. Lord, dear God, I want to serve You. And how about this? You could commit yourself to being faithful. 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You see, faithfulness always begins with you being faithful to the Lord. Faithful to your Bible. Faithful in your prayer time and walk with Him. Faithful in your service. Faithful in your church attendance. You say, you make things like, sounds like it all revolves around church. Your life goes as good as your love for God. You say, you're trying to get me to center my life around the church. I'm telling you, God's the reason for it all. I'm not trying to get your time. I'm trying to help you put God, cleave to the Lord so He can bless you. But we're doing fine. You know what I mean? We're not, what's going to happen next week? We're doing fine. But I had one parent when I was in the Christian school, and they were so angry. He said, "I got to talk with you." Sits down, and he had his boy in there, and I said, "What can I answer for you? How come you start every class with prayer? How come you put, how," he said, "my boy says," it was fourth grade, "my boy says you teach Bible in math class. Why do you do that?" He was furious. "I don't think God needs to be in everything. You teach Bible and science." And I said, "Sir," and I found out why he was lost. I said, "Sir, are you saved? You trusted Jesus as your Savior?" "Well, I believe in God." I said, "Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior?" "Well, no. I just think it's ridiculous to take this God thing. It's just too much." It was an education for me. No, I said, "I'm not changing the way I teach. And we're not changing the Christian school." And I said, "And I'm sorry it upset you." He pulled his kid out of the school. Because he didn't want God in everything. I felt sorry for him. I thought that was a sad way to live. This morning, I want you to make one more. I want you to think about one more resolution. Can we end? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Ready? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 28. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 8. You can look at this later. I'd like you to think about it. Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost, and his preaching encouraged the people to cleave unto the Lord, that they would purpose in their heart. He encouraged them. That's because it doesn't naturally happen. None of us are good Christians all by ourselves. "Well, just leave me alone. Let me between..." We're supposed to encourage one another. Look at Romans 8, verse 28. Last thing we'll look at. "And know we that all things work, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Watch this. Look at verse 29. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Everybody, this morning, God has predestined you, if you're saved, to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're supposed to want to be like the Lord Jesus. God's purpose in saving you was not just to keep you out of hell, although that is a wonderful benefit. God saved you from this present world for you to glorify Him in seeking to be like Him. Titus 2, verse 11 through 12. We should want to be like God, but we should not want to be God and call the shots. I should want to be more like God, more like Jesus, more of His love, more of His grace, more of His compassion. I should want more peace, more joy. As a Christian, I should want to be more godly and more holy, not conform to this world. You could make resolutions this year to cleave unto the Lord. I mentioned controlling your tongue. I mentioned controlling your concerning your giving. I mentioned you just loving the Lord more. I mentioned you being conformed to the image of Christ. Let me end with this. On the back of your bulletin, just if you'll listen to me, but on the back, I wanted you to be able to take it home. In 1740s, there was a great awakening. This is a revival that started in the church of Jonathan Edwards. He preached he was one of the most famous preachers. He preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and revival started in Connecticut and swept across the East Coast, down the coast, and God used the Great Awakening to prepare for the next revival. All I'm telling you is this: God used Jonathan Edwards because he was a holy man. Listen closely. As a 19-year-old boy, he made some resolutions. And you know how he kept them? He read them. If you look them up on the internet, there's the 70 resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. He made 20 of them when he was 19 and kept adding to the list. And he read them once a week for the next 35 years until God called him home. You know how you keep your resolutions? You can't make one and then forget about it. You normally would write it down. And then you would look at it, maybe put it in your Bible. Jonathan Edwards read his once a week for 35 years. He wasn't a Baptist, but he was considered a holy man. Can I just show you a few of them? You can look at them yourself, but I put them on the back here. Look what his first one as a 19-year-old boy was to do this. I'm resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory and my own good, profit, and pleasure. In other words, if I can glorify God, I'm going to do it. Look at I kept the numbers on his resolutions here. In other words, I skipped 2, 3, but look at number 4. Ready? I'm resolved never to do any manner of thing, whether in soul or body, less or more, but what tends to the glory of God. You say that sounds like the first. He did. He rephrased them. But he said, I'm going to live for God. He's a 19-year-old boy. Look at number 6 there. He says, I'm resolved to live with all my might while I do live. I love that one book that Marlene Evans wrote. She said, I think I'm just going to go ahead and live until I die. Same thing. I'm going to live. If God gives me life, then I'm going to live to the fullest and do everything I can while He gives me breath. Look at number 7. I'm resolved never to do anything that I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. That changed a lot of people's decisions. Would you go there if you knew you were going to die in the next hour? Would you have told that joke or talked that way if you knew you were going to die in an hour? You see how holy he was? God, I'm going to live for you. And as a 19-year-old boy, he wrote, let's just read a few more here. Number 14, resolve never to do anything out of revenge. You know what that is? Look at the next one. I'm resolved never to suffer the least motions of anger to irrational beings. You know what that is saying? I'm never going to let somebody else control me. You can act however you want. If you want to live like an animal, that's fine, but you will not control my emotions. That'd take care of road rage, wouldn't it? You know, a bunch of babies. I will not live in such a way that others control me. I will, and they will not force an action. I like this. Look at verse number 16. Resolve never to speak evil of anyone, so that it shall tend to his dishonor more or less upon no account except for some real good. One more. Resolve that I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. See, what makes Christians great is not just that they know how to live, but they know how to die. And if you want something said at your funeral, what do you want them to say when you die? Then live that way. Then live that way. Jonathan Edwards, as a 19-year-old boy, made 70 of them, and he made 20, and then he kept adding to the list, and he read the list once a week for the next 35 years. This morning, Barnabas, being a good man, preached, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. I just wanted to encourage you this morning to make some resolutions. How can this year be a good year for you spiritually so you can cleave to the Lord? Let's pray. Father, please, I do thank you.